Take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, find verse number 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this, the keys to success. I'm going to give you three very simple keys to success. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. If you'll stand with me, please, I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. Look back at me for just a moment. Let me say something to you. I had a preacher recently ask me a question, and he is a very, very casual conversation, but he said, "Brother Owens, many, many years you've been preaching and you've been involved in the ministry. Tell me something that tends to be affecting people in churches right now." And I told him, I said, lethargy. Lethargy. You say, what is that? The people are unmotivated. People just seem to be satisfied with existence. I said it, and I think that's a problem. I think that affects people. And then if it affects people, it affects churches. The average church is satisfied just to be able to open their doors. I don't think God ever intended for that for the church. I think God intended His people to be motivated, and I think God intended for His church to be motivated by and with those people. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, it says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And let's pray. Father, bless now. May we be energized. May we be challenged. Might someone step out of their lethargic ways and get motivated about their life, about their Christianity, about the tasks that are set before them. Bless us now, Lord, with Thy Holy Spirit's energy so that we might all gain the energy we need to do what is best for You and for ourselves. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, gives us some success instructions. He said, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, don't stand in the way of sinners. He said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. He said, then delight in the law of the Lord. He said, meditate day and night. And the result? He said, you can have success. He said, that success, you'll be like a tree planted. What's that mean? Solid. A planted tree is a solid tree. He said, then you'll bring forth fruit. What's that? You'll be productive. You'll be moving forward. He said, you won't wither. You say, what does that mean? You'll hold up. It's a sustaining success. You won't fall apart. You're not withering. You're not shriveling up into nothing. And then it actually said, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I like that. That's prosperity. That's success. And he said, whatsoever, in other words, in your endeavors, you are going to see success or prosperity. Psalm 1 may be one of the most well-known scriptures that provide a recipe for success in life. Now, there are many kinds of successful people with multiple characteristics. Some people are quiet, and some are loud. Some people are attractive, and some people are not so attractive. I had the word ugly here, but I marked it out because I didn't want to say it publicly. Some people are portly, and some people are skinny. Some people are hairy. Some people are bald. Some are short. Some are tall. Some are serious. Some are funny. Some are deep, and some are a little more shallow, and some are young, some are old, some are fast, and some are a little slower, some are tender, and some are tough. But there are a lot of different kinds of people that experience success, but there are a few characteristics that they all must have. There are just some things that make success for you. Those necessary things are what my sermon is about today. I think if you checked on all successful people in the sports arena, you would find that they have these primary characteristics that I'll share with you today. I think anybody that is successful in business, you're going to find that somewhere in their tools of success, you'll find the characteristics I'm going to share with you today. You take some of the people in history and even now that are involved in our military, and thank God for the military of the United States of America. But I would tell you that you look at back at some of the great military giants and even some that exist today. If they're successful, they are successful, and it has something to do with these characteristics that I'll share with you today. You look at the biblical heroes as we look back and you take the names of the giants of the faith, both Old Testament and New Testament. They were structured differently and put together a little differently. But I would tell you this, if they accomplished something, they accomplished it because of the characteristics that I'll share with you today. All great men have these characteristics. I think all great women have these characteristics. And these people to whom I just referred, the multiple people that have experienced success, these people, they didn't want to just get by. These people were not satisfied with being average or below average. They wanted to succeed. They wanted to go forward. They were not lethargic about life. They wanted to get everything that they could out of life. And I'm not talking about in a greedy fashion. I'm talking about they wanted to get something out of life for the sake of God and for the sake of others. Let me tell you all something. God gave you a life. He wanted you to live it. And He wants you to succeed at it. But there are some characteristics that are going to need to be present if you would like to succeed. And if you would like to prosper, if you'd like to be moving forward, there are some characteristics that are just necessary. And we're going to need to develop them. And they're not difficult characteristics. I'm going to mention three of them. They're not difficult, but they're necessary. For instance, number one, if you want to be successful, you must do what you do with your might. With your might. M-I-G-H-T. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Notice the word might. Your might. You know, there are people in here, you're sincerely waiting to be successful in life, and you're waiting for God's might to help you do it. Do you know something? God's waiting for you to use your might. God wants you to put your might into it. Now, let me explain something. I like this. When I studied the word might, it actually here means like dynamite. You see the correlation between dynamite and might. You know what that means? You need to explode into your task. You need to do it with a burst of energy. Your character should ignite a desire for accomplishment inside you. The right way to do anything is to do it with your might. Put your might into it. Put something into it. It does not just say, do the big things with your might. If you were listening to that verse, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now remember, might means it's like dynamite. You explode into it. You throw yourself into it. You make something happen. And it didn't just say, do the big things of life with your might. Let me teach you something. You succeed at big things in life by succeeding at little things in life. And some people say, I'd like to do something big for God. Then you're going to have to learn to do a lot of little things big for God. That is what bigness is. Bigness is the combination of many little things done in a right way. A great corporation is built by having the little things done the right way. And so might I say to you, if you want to succeed, you're going to have to become like a little firecracker. You're going to have to get some dynamite about yourself and throw yourself into the project. It does not say, and remember, it does not say just do the big things with your might. It said whatsoever you do, do with that might. It doesn't say do the glamorous things with your might. It says whatsoever with your might. It did not say do the exciting things with your might. It said everything. It didn't say do the famous things with your might. Everything with your might. It didn't say just do the fun things with your might. Or the public things with your might. Everything with your might. Do the rewarding things with your might. No, it said whatsoever you do, do it with your might. It didn't say do the simple things with your might, or the enjoyable things with your might, or the dynamic, or the incredible things with your might. What did it say? Everything. Everything you do, you throw yourself into it and you say, I want to live my life. I'm going to squeeze everything I can out of every day. I want to succeed. I want to go forward. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to be numb. Amen. The average person in life only accomplishes about half of what they could accomplish because of lethargy. They don't want more. And I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about succeeding with the life God has given you. Hey, that verse did not say just do the fantastic things or the visual things or the easy things or the predictable things with your might. It said whatsoever you do, do it with your might. I've always believed if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. If it's not worth doing right, why do it? Why do it? The things for which you say, well, I'm going to do the things for which I have been trained with my might. Well, that's good. You ought to. And you know what else? You ought to do the things for which you have not been trained with your might. So nobody ever taught me how to do that. Well, you can still throw yourself into the learning process. Hey, do the big things with your might. Do the little things with your might. You know, for some of you, things got you down most in life right now are not the big things. You got a bunch of little things that you need victory in. But your problem is, you don't go after those little things with your might. It takes might. What is it? It's an explosion. There's energy thrown into it. Okay, you'll get this. Ladies, if you're going to shop, shop with your might. Men, if you're going to eat, do it with your might. Well, let me tell you something. You want to succeed at work? Do it with your might. You say, I want a raise. Well, prove me you want a raise. Well, I just told you I wanted one. Show it to me. Say how? Might. Might. Explode into that task. Hey, cleaning house. You know how you'd have more time at home? If you throw yourself into getting it done. Instead of delaying, procrastinating, and making excuses all the time. Do it with your might. Everything the Christian does is should be done at the best of their ability. And it is best that we constantly be improving our best. I'm not to compare my best to his best, and he's not to compare his best to my best. I am to compare my best to me, and I need to improve me, and you need to improve you. You say, how do you do that? You use your might. We do indeed live in a lethargic world. Everybody's almost comatose. Everybody's half numb. Everybody's just satisfied to survive. And I think God wanted us to do more than just survive. You know what He wants? Victory. You know what He wants? He wants us to rise up and conquer. He wants us to succeed. Why would He put a passage of Scripture like Psalm 1, 1 through 3? It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever. You know what that means? You're to succeed at what you do. If it's taking care of your house, succeed. If you're a carpenter, succeed. God wanted you to succeed. That's what God wants. The reason He gives us recipe for success is I think He wants us to have success. Listen, we're not to give our best to only what's important to us. But we're to give our best to whatsoever our hand findeth to do. I'll tell you, when I worked in the secular arena, in the factories and things, clock watchers would just irritate me. They just wanted, they just watched the clock constantly. You know what we're supposed to do? We're to go to work and get everything we can done before we have to go home. Instead of being so worried about when you get to go home, won't you be worried about what you get done before you go home? And so, I don't like that. Well, if you were the boss, you would. Because that's why they hired you. Hey, we're to use our might. The word might has to do with dynamite. It means there's to be an explosion of energy that helps you to succeed. Hey, church leaders, use your might. As we develop our school, use your might. Hey, Sunday school workers, use your might. Hey, those of you involved in the choir, use your might. Hey, bus captain, use your might.
special music participant, use your mic. One thing I loved about hearing the girls sing last night, they were not shy. They were singing. They had practiced and practiced and practiced, and did you feel the bundle of energy? There was energy there. Yeah, I love to hear people sing with energy. I love to see people do anything with energy. Energy. We need energy. God gave us energy. We wasted it on so many things. Hey, God gave you energy. He gave you that burst of energy. There's within inside all of you a little piece of dynamite. And if you don't believe it, if you're a born-again Christian, you got the Holy Spirit inside you. And that is a burst of energy that God has given you so you could do what others can't do. And you can do the supernatural. And you can overcome in life. God gave you the energy. Now you just need to use that energy to succeed. Whatever you do, do it with your might. Are you looking for employment? Can I tell you how to look? With your might. You don't find a job by going one place looking for a job. You say, how many? Go to 100 places. Knock on every door. Fill out every application. You want a job? Go get a job. What's it take? Might. Or it can be, well, I did check this one place. They needed someone, but I didn't fit the bill. Going to go check another place next month. Bad economy. No, bad character. Low might usage. Hey, I say to pastors, pastor with your might. Push that thing forward. Don't sit around and make up excuses. Figure it out. Make it happen. Explode into that thing. Hey, I think when people preach, I think they ought to put a little might into it. Especially if you preach to a lethargic world. If you don't have a little might preaching to this lethargic world, everyone will be asleep, including you as the preacher. Hey, if you work around the church and you're part of the custodial crew, your might. Explode into whatsoever you do. Here's the problem. Some of you explode into your complaining or your gossip. I'm sorry, you're using your might for the wrong thing. Build your business with might. Hey, if it's secretarial or parenting or maintenance or sales or mechanical work, whatever it is, do it with your might. Now, you want a key to success? Number one, might. Do it with your might. But not only that, let me give you another. To succeed, you have to do what you do heartily. Heartily. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. I'm going to come back to that word heartily in a moment. But I've got to read this to you. A man had a heart attack and is brought to the hospital and to the emergency room. The doctor tells him that he will not live unless he has a heart transplant right away. Another doctor runs into the room and says, you're in luck. Two hearts just became available. So you will get to choose which one you want. One belonged to a lawyer and the other belonged to a nursing home worker. The man quickly responds, I'll take the lawyer's. The doctor said, whoa, wait. Don't you want to know a little bit about them before you make the decision? The man said, no, I already know enough. We all know that the nursing home workers, they have bleeding hearts, and the lawyer probably never used his, so I want the fresh one. Give me the lawyers. If you want to succeed in life, you'll have to do what you do heartily. The word heartily here in Colossians 3:23, it comes from the word cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac. You ever heard of cardiac arrest or heart? It means do it with your innermost being. It means you do it from deep within you. In other words, dig deep. Do it with your might and do it from your innermost being. Not just faking a desire to succeed on the outside, but really wanting it on the inside. Heartily means more than give your all. It means always giving your all. Don't let up. Don't stop. It's like this. Heartily is to take after your heart. Now, about your heart and it's beating, I think it's pretty well consistent, right? God said, you need to throw yourself into what you want to succeed at without stopping. That's what it means by heartily. You stay after it. Just consistently. You stay after it. And you stay after it. Just like the beat of your heart. Do you want your heart to take a couple days off on you? You say, no, no, that'd be bad. Hey, stay after your success like that. And I know you can't work 24 hours a day, but the whole application here is heartily, cardia. It's talking about you get a rhythm and you just keep on going. You explode into it, that's might, dynamite, and you do it heartily. Successful people, listen to this, successful people take time off. Not to take time off. Successful people take time off to energize so they have the power they need for the time on.
Right.
Those are who your leaders are. Right-thinking people, and in this day and age, this will sound so weird, right-thinking people want to work. They want to achieve.
Yes.
They want to succeed. If you say, I don't want to do any work, then you're not thinking spiritually at all. You're not, and you're not what makes America great. And I'm not talking about our president's slogan. What makes America great is hardworking people. Laziness gets nobody anywhere. And so, what do? We put our heart into it. Everybody wants a benefit of success, but few will pay the price of the heartily part. Heartily people are driven from within. Heartily people will get the job done. And let me tell you something. The more you put your heart into things, the less you need someone supervising you all the time. Let me tell you, if you're heartily, the minute the boss is gone, you stop working hard. Say, what's that mean? Your heart's not in it. Your heart's not in your work. And just so you know, God is watching when your boss is not on site. And it is God that helps you to succeed. You see, you thought as long as you could fake the boss out and you could make the boss believe your heart's in it, you could get a paycheck and you could get a raise. In all reality, God's watching everything you do. And God knows if your heart's really in it or not. So when the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, it is we throw ourselves into it. You know, for me, most of the things that you would call a job, they all seem to be a cause to me. There's a cause. There's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's got to be done right. It's got to be done for God. It's got to go forward. This ought to be done right. I don't keep what I'd call hours. I've never kept hours. You say, well, how do you monitor your work? I work toward getting things done. That's my goal, is to get things done and to accomplish something for God. Now, listen, it takes heartily moms to lead and run successful households. It takes heartily parents to raise good kids. And you say, you're just describing a workaholic. Let me tell you something. That we have almost turned work into a dirty thing in America. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather be a workaholic than an alcoholic. And I'd rather be a workaholic than a foodaholic. And I'd rather be a workaholic than a depressionaholic. And I'd rather be a workaholic than a gripeaholic or a Facebookaholic. You want to say you're a workaholic and push, 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 work, 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 work. That's what made this country. And everybody else can coast along if they want to. But hey, why would people want to dare minimize work? And I'm sure there's a person or two under the sound of my voice that you need to get some balance in your life in regard to your work. But the common issue in America is not workaholics. That's not the common issue in America. It's a lethargy. It's we're just spoiled and we don't want to move forward. But I think we should. I believe coaches that coach heartily coach winning teams. I think carpenters that build houses heartily build the best houses. I think business builders that build heartily go down in history for their accomplishments. I think managers that manage heartily, they accomplish something in life. Oh, and let me tell you something. You might consider it a warning, but just let me tell you, heartily people are weary people. They're not only eliminating work, they're creating it. They create it. It's not just long hours. Sometimes it's hard hours. But heartily is what brings success. If you would like success in life, what do? You're going to have to do what you do with your might. Some of you need to learn to explode into those things that need to be accomplished. Somebody needs to go home, use your energy, look at that project and say, I put you off long enough. I've not done what needs to be done. I've got to get this finished. I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to stop whining. I'm going to stop hiding. I'm going to take my energy. I'm going to put it into this project. Then what do? You do it heartily, from within. It becomes a passion to you. And by the way, you keep working at it like your heart beats. You keep after it until you succeed. Let me give you one more point. If you want to succeed, you're going to have to do what you do faithfully. You use your might, you use your heart, and then you learn to be faithful. In 3 John chapter 5, it says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Faithfully means always being where you're supposed to be. Being predictable. Being dependable. Have you ever heard the old saying, you can set your clock by him. You can set your clock by her. Now, in some of your cases, we can set our clock by you. We'll always know it's about 5 minutes after when everybody was supposed to be there. Because you are consistently late at what you do. But that's not what that old saying was. It was, if it was supposed to start at noon, he was in his place at noon. And you knew it. If he was there, he was on time. Now listen, what is it? What is faithfulness? It's being predictable. It's being dependable. The best Sunday school teachers are those that are faithful. Now, we have average teachers. We have below average teachers. But we have some. They are just predictable in their place. That'll bring success. Hey, remember, do what you do with energy. That's your might. Do what you do from deep within yourself. That's your heart. That's heartily, consistently, and just always be where you're supposed to be. Hey, listen, so you know, I'm not against people who want to be average. I'm not against them. We need people that want to be average. You say, why? So we have a pool to fish from for those that might like to be above average. I heard a guy preaching one day, and he said, look, if you're not going to go soul winning in my church, just get out and give me the seat and let me use it for a soul winner. I said, Doc, don't say that. I said, the only place you can find non-soul winners are those people sitting there doing nothing, and you have a chance of motivating them. So let them sit there like a bump on a log. But you at least got a shot at them. Let me say to everybody in here, if you've decided you're going to be lethargic, and if you've decided that you don't care, and you've decided that you're just going to coast through life, just stay right here. But every once in a while, you'll have to put up with the fact that I think God gave you a life to live, and God wants you to succeed, and God wants you to go forward, and God wants you to stop making excuses, and God wants you to do the hard thing, and God wants you to get up and move and make something happen and change your life and build something and create something and go somewhere and motivate yourself and motivate somebody else. But if you want to sit there like a bump on a log, that's okay. But if every once in a while we could just say, there's more to this than just sitting around, amen, you'll be all right. So we need you. I need your tithe anyway. You know, when I was a young preacher, I was taught something. I was taught that it was just as important to preach dynamically if there were three people as it was to preach dynamically when there were 3,000. And I preached to both crowds. And I really don't say this to toot my own horn. I just want you to know, when I used to preach to three, this is how I preached. Why? To me, there's no little task. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if you're going to do it right, you do it with your might. If you're going to do it right, you've got to put your heart into it. If you're going to do it right, you need to be faithful to it. And if it's not worth doing, why are you doing it? Why waste your life? But if it is worth your life, throw yourself into it. Energize yourself. Somebody in here needs to rise up and conquer. And the thing some of you need to conquer is you. You've allowed yourself to be satisfied with below average behavior. You can do better than that. You say, you mad at me, preacher? Oh, no. I just want to help to energize you. A faithful person will eventually succeed. You say, Pastor, I'm not real smart. You don't have to be brilliant to succeed. So what do you have to be? Faithful. Faithful. I know some brilliant people that they will never succeed like they could. Because they can't be faithful people. And I know some people that are very below average in their learning, but they're faithful and they are going to accomplish something. You say, why? God will bless their faithfulness.
Hey, look, the more faithful you are to dynamic service and heart-driven service, the more you have the potential to succeed. Explode faithfully into that work. Put your heart faithfully into that work. Let me tell you something. If some Christians were as faithful to their job as they are to church, they would be unemployed tomorrow. Hey, always be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do. Put your heart into it. Put your might into it. I believe this: might, heart, and faithfulness equals success. You show me someone that will explode into their work. They'll do it consistently and faithfully. From the innermost part of themselves, they'll succeed. So, you say, I've got a bad past. Let me tell you, these three characteristics will give you success in rebuilding your life. You say, I've got some great dreams for my future. These three ingredients will help your future. Might, heart, and faithfulness, they work.